preach in Jesus' name, the propitiation, such an important function for us. And of course, we remember it in our communion service, that propitiation, because it is important. And then we forget about it through the rest of the year. No, we try not to. Try to remember that he is crucial, critical, important, tremendously important. We need him all the time, and we just, yeah, we try to remember that, and we try to live that way. It's good to look into Romans 3 and 4, and we could go on for hours looking into that beautiful, beautiful passage. But we're not going to, I don't think we're going to continue that in the message. Try to stay out of it. Maybe not. Anyway. But this morning, I have entitled the message, Messiah Ben Joseph. Messiah, son of Joseph. Maybe I should say, the Jewish rabbis and Jewish people, as they looked into the scriptures, they pondered about the two Messiahs, Messiah ben Joseph and Messiah ben David. And we want to look at Messiah ben Joseph. Okay, well, Zechariah the prophet was born during the exile of Israel to Babylon. That's where he was born. His writings occurred during the dark days when they returned to the land of Israel. I said the dark days. They returned to the land of Israel. Yes, they were back in the land, but it was hard and they weren't thriving. They needed hope. And God sent Zechariah the prophet to give them hope. Hope in the hard times. Do you resonate with that a little bit? Hope in hard times? Hard times, anyway. Maybe not hope. Hopefully hope in hard times. Anyway, God sent Zechariah to give them hope. That's exactly what Zechariah wanted to give them. You can turn to Zechariah 9, verse 9. He said there was a magnificent, glorious king coming. Hope is on the way. Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. So there they were. They had returned from Babylon. They were grateful for that, but they were having hard times there, difficult times, and oppression suppression, and different things going on there. And God said, I have a message of hope for you. There is a king coming. And he says here in Zechariah 9, verse 9, he says, rejoice greatly. Not just rejoice, but rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout. There we go. Have you ever shouted because you were excited? Probably have. Maybe not in religious service, and maybe we should let that happen. But you probably have shouted that in games, at least, where you're excited and you shouted. Well, anyway, he says here, shout, because, shout, O daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. And that was the message of hope that Zechariah gave to these Jews. They were the children of God. They were the children of, should I say, they were the children of Abraham. They had a special calling in the world, and here they were. They were back in the land of Israel, yes, but they were not sovereign. They were under the thumb of other kings, of the king of, well, it was not Babylon anymore. It was a Persian or Medes and Persians, whatever. But they were not like thriving like they hoped to. They were not thriving like God had promised they would. But Zechariah said, rejoice, shout for joy, because your king cometh. Rejoice greatly, And in the next verse, he says, he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river to the ends of the world. Well, now we're talking about a king, right? Not just a king over a little spot and in the Middle East, but a king from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the world. That was going to be their king. Yes, they had reason to hope. But in this passage, this very passage, Zechariah also says, he is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. Does that sound right? Lowly. I thought we were talking about a king. I thought you were giving me hope. But here we have a king, and he says, "Yeah, he's just, and he has salvation, but he's lowly, and he's riding upon an ass and upon the colt, the foal of an ass, lowly and riding upon a donkey, a king, lowly and riding upon a donkey, hardly a mighty conqueror. Doesn't sound like it." That doesn't sound like a superhero that we were looking forward to, that he was just picturing to us. The king isn't coming to fight a war, but he comes in gentleness and he comes in meekness. What Messiah is this? And then in chapter 14, Zechariah talks about the king again. In Zechariah 14. Verses 1 through 4, he says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoils shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Oh, here we have a king again. And this is the Messiah of war. He says, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Yes, this is a conquering king. This is the Messiah of war. This is hope. And that's what they needed. They needed somebody to rule rightly and to rid the land of these foreign oppressors and to rule the world in justice. That's what they needed. That's what we need. The Messiah of war, a conquering king, a mighty king. And in verse 5, he says, or not verse 5, verse 8 and 9, and it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And in that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. The Lord shall be king over all the earth. That's my king. That's the king I want. That's where I can find security and peace and rest and honor. There, under his shadow. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, gives us this contrasting picture of Messiah also. In Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, you're familiar with these verses. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice and with justice from henceforth, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That's my king. Yes, that's my king. Of the increase of the government, of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Yes. A powerful, eternal government. But then we have Isaiah 53, verse 3 through 7. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. In verse 7, he says, He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And so the question is, does this king who reigns over all the earth come gently and despised and rejected, riding on a donkey in peace? Or does he come in wrath and power, ready to do battle? Which one is it? Are there two different Messiahs? Or does one Messiah fill both roles? Which way is it? This was the question the rabbis debated. Let me ask you this. Was this the question John the Baptist was asking Jesus there in Luke 7? Let's just read those verses there in Luke 7, verse 19 through 23. And yeah, I asked this question. Was this the question John the Baptist was asking Jesus here in Luke 7, 19 through 23? And John calling unto him two of his disciples sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering, said unto him, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, I don't know if that's what John was asking or not. But he said, you go ask Jesus, are you the one that should come, or look we for another? Are you the one that should come, or look we for another? Was John asking Jesus, are you the Messiah that is going to come in great wrath at the end of the age? Or is that going to be a different Messiah? Is that what he was asking? Possibly. Jesus answered, I am a Messiah of many powerful miracles, but be careful that you don't become offended in the work I am being called to do. Because this time, he was Messiah ben Joseph. not Messiah ben David, son of David. Well, he was son of David, but they had these two different names for these puzzling characteristics of these Messiahs. Yeah, they had these two different names. You know, Peter was offended by Jesus calling. There in Matthew 16, verse 23. Then charged to his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ, or Jesus the Messiah. That's the word. That's the very word. You don't tell anyone I'm Jesus the Messiah. And from that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Uh-oh. He just said, don't tell anybody I'm the Messiah. And then he said, now I want you to know, I'm going to be, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to prepare for this. What's going to happen to me? I'm Messiah, but I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and they're going to be killing me, and I'm going to die. Was Peter offended at that? He was. He said, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, that this should not be, this shall not be unto thee. Oh, you're Messiah. You're Messiah. Yes, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He just said that. And he said, and Jesus said, I'm going to die in Jerusalem. And Peter like, just a minute here. No. You're Messiah. You're not going to die. Messiah needs to be a conquering king. Of course. And he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. He stumbled. He stumbled at this Messiah ben Joseph. He stumbled at it. You know what? Peter's not the only one who stumbles about Messiah and Joseph. It is easy for us. It is easy for me to be offended by Messiah ben Joseph. We long for Messiah ben David and his glorious kingdom and the peace and the prosperity that promises. We long for that. Yeah, we long for Messiah ben David and his glorious kingdom and become angry when he isn't our Messiah. We grow weary of the tensions and wearinesses and the stresses of life. Oh, for Messiah ben David to take care of it all. We grow weary of the Roman oppression and the friends who don't understand why we accepted Jesus. We grow weary of the tensions in church life, the misunderstandings by brethren, the rejection by friends. Angry. This is not the Messiah we signed up for. We want a Messiah where they don't hurt or destroy in all that holy mountain. That's the Messiah we want. We don't want a Messiah who came not to send peace, but a sword. Do you want that Messiah? We don't want a Messiah who calls us to deny ourselves. Take up a cross. We tire of surrender and of self-denial and of cross-bearing. Is this what we signed up for? I thought I signed up for Messiah ben David. Didn't he offer me heaven? And so Peter starts writing. And he says in 1 Peter 4, verse 12 and 13, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. What? Don't think it's strange. Now, I do. I don't fit into that mold very nicely. But Peter says, don't think it's strange concerning the trial, the fiery trial, which is to try as though some strange thing has happened unto you. We do. We think it's strange. We think it odd. We think it uncomfortable. We think it not what we were supposed to be doing. This trial we have to go through here in this world. Not only the things of the world, but all the things that come crushing upon us. And we think, where are you, God? Where are you, Messiah ben David? And then he rubs it in, Peter does. And he says, not only as though some strange thing happened unto you, but he says, but rejoice. Huh? Yeah. Not only don't think it's strange, but rejoice when these fiery trials come upon you. What happened to Peter? What happened to Peter? But rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings. Oh, Peter, I want to be like that. Yes, and that's something that, yeah, you fought against, you rejected, you stumbled over, but then you embraced and accepted. And help me, Lord, to accept that as well. And that I would rejoice in Messiah ben Joseph and look forward to Messiah ben David, but rejoiced in the service that I can do to Messiah ben Joseph. Oh, yeah, we don't want fiery trials, and on top of it all, we sure don't want to have to be happy about them. Must we do this? Messiah ben David will come. Yes. Who will he come? Who will he come? Who will he deliver? Who will be part of his family, part of his tribe, part of his kingdom? Who? And I'll look at some of that now. In Romans 2, verse 6 and 7. That's not very far from Romans 3, is it? No. Okay. Romans 2, verse 6 and 7. He will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, give eternal life. This is what we're living for. We're seeking after glory and honor and immortality. That's what Paul admits here. He says, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality. And he's describing Christians. He's describing us. We're seeking for glory and for honor and immortality. Our hearts cry out for that. But how do we attain to that? He said, by patient continuance and well-doing. Yes. We look for glory and honor and immortality. Yes, that's what we long for. Messiah ben David will come for those who are patiently pursuing righteous living. And it continues on there in Romans 2, verse 10. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Yes, what does he say? He's coming. Messiah ben David will come for those who glory. To give glory and honor and peace. There's that word peace. Oh, I want glory and honor and I want peace. I don't want stress. I don't want turmoil. I want peace. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. He'll come and he'll take away this stress, this warfare, this battle, and he'll give me peace. Yes, he will give me peace. Glory and honor for whom? Yes, it's for those who patiently continue to do good, For those who in this passage we looked at, who worketh good. For those who are doers of the law, he says in just a few verses down in Romans 2, verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Yes, the doers of the law shall be justified. Paul pens down there in Romans 2. Those are the ones who will be able to be justified. We're looking for justification. We need justification, don't we? Peter had a similar thought in Acts 2, verse 34 and 35. Then Peter opened his mouth, very similar passage, and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. Yes. God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears God and works righteousness, does righteous deeds, lives righteously, will be accepted of him. That's who Messiah, Ben David, is coming for. Yes. Glory and honor for whom? 1 John, or John has a similar thought in 1 John 3, verse 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Glory! And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. Yes. Purifieth himself. Even as he is pure. Yes. If we have this hope in him, we are purifying ourselves. Purify yourselves away, away, away from the world, away from the enemies of God, away from sin, away from corruption. Glory and honor. For whom? Again, in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And here he says, you come out from among them and don't touch the unclean thing. Don't be defiled by that unclean thing. Be holy, live righteously, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And then he goes on in the next verse here, and he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, Zechariah was giving the children of Israel hope. He was giving him promises. And here we have Paul giving us the same thing. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the sight of God. Because that's who he's coming for. That's who Messiah ben David is coming for. Those who cleanses themselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, and are perfecting holiness in the sight of God. That's who he's coming for. That's whom he will receive. Yes, salvation is free. It is only free for those who touch not the unclean thing. We need to be removed from the unclean thing. We need to be holy in our speech. We need to be holy in our music. We need to be holy we can't be listening to unholy and vile and corrupt music and think, what? No, of course not. And be reconciled to God, of course we can't. We need to be holy in the things that we watch. And you know, there's pornography, there's Hollywood movies, they're evil, all those things. What happens to those who do evil? Well, But unto them that are, in Romans 2, verse 8 and 9, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul that doeth evil. Yes. Upon the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Doesn't matter what your name, what your creed, what your, if you're a person who is doing evil, there will be, and that list is what we want to get away from, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. And so, put it away. Don't cling to the world. Separate yourself from it and look forward to Messiah Ben David. Oh, that Messiah Ben David with all his glory and honor and peace would come. And he that shall come who will come. He is going to come. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8, I've fought a good fight. There we are. That's where we are. We're in the middle of this fight. And we get weary of this fight. This, all of this. Oh, well, if I could get out of this. Oh, I didn't know I signed up for this. Oh, where's Messiah Ben David? Messiah Ben Joseph was here. Jesus was here. He was here among us. He lived among us. And he went through our experiences and was faithful. Yeah, Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. He had fought his fight. He had kept the faith. That's what he's asking us to do as well. And yes, there will be a crown of righteousness for those who are faithful and for those who love his appearing. Come, Messiah Ben David, come! And so, why did Messiah Ben Joseph come? Couldn't we just have skipped that part? Why did he come? What did he do? There in Romans 2, Paul says, the doers of the law shall be justified. Justified? Justified? Justified. Yeah. Those who persevere in well-doing shall be justified. Those who work good, as he said there in Romans 2, shall be justified. We need justification. Yes, what is justification? It is when righteousness is imputed to our record. We are credited with righteousness. We are credited as righteous. We are considered righteous. Our sins are forgiven, taken away, not held against us anymore. Praise the Lord! That condemnation, that separation from God is removed. And we are reconciled to God. And what did Peter preach there in that message at Pentecost? Men and brethren, he said in Acts 2, verse 37 and 38, men and brethren, what shall we do? And he said, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. There it is. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the remission of sins, the freedom from sins, the pardon from sins, the forgiveness. And that's what Jesus provided, remission of sins. Forgiveness of sins, those sins, our sins, those sins we had on our record, those sins which we had committed can be removed, and we can be counted just as though we had never sinned, and we can be accepted by God, but only if Messiah Ben Joseph came and made it possible. Only if Messiah Ben Joseph came and was despised of men and bore our sins. Only then could Messiah Ben David come and call us into his kingdom of honor and glory and peace. That is why Messiah ben Joseph came. And again, Peter, in Acts 3, verse 18 and 19, but those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ must suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. There it is. That's why he came, that our sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, there is a time of refreshing coming. Yes. Zechariah said, rejoice, have hope, because there's a time of refreshing coming. A king is coming. There is a time of refreshing coming for us too. The king is coming. Yes. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. what does the next phrase say? Whom the heaven must receive until. Yes. Yes, until. What a beautiful word, until. But yes, that your sins may be blotted out, obliterated, pardoned. That is why Messiah ben Joseph came. Again, in Acts 13, verse 38 and 39, we have Paul recording these words, preaching these words. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. He's preaching unto us the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins, justification, counted righteous. That is why Messiah ben Joseph came. You see, we want glory and honor and immortality. We yearn for it. We tire of anything less. We grow weary. God wants to share all this goodness with us, but we can't partake of and receive of this goodness unless our sin condition, our guilt, our uncleanness is taken away. And that is why Messiah ben Joseph came. That's why Jesus came the first time. Behold, before he could come as Messiah ben David and give us glory and honor, he had to come as the sinless Messiah ben Joseph and make the provision to cleanse us so that we could experience the glory and honor and immortality. I want to read that sentence again. He had to come as the sinless Messiah ben Joseph and make the provision to cleanse us so we could experience glory and honor and immortality. That's why he had to come. We needed forgiveness for our sins. We needed justification. We needed cleansing. He didn't come to take away our ability to sin. We still can fall short and do. He came so that those who patiently continue in well-doing and seeking glory and honor and immortality can experience eternal life. To those who are patiently continuing in well-doing in pursuit of glory and honor and immortality, he came so that that can be accomplished, so we can have eternal life. Messiah ben Joseph opened the door for us. He made the provision so we could be clean. We owe our life, our love, our very all to him. Yes, we brought the corruption upon ourselves in the garden. And we have been fighting to overcome it ever since. And all the fight. Oh, we get weary of it. We are still fighting. We are still struggling. We are still wrestling with evil in all its different forms. But we are not going to give up now. We're going to persevere on this road to glory and honor until Messiah Ben David comes, and that glorious king shall come. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have a need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but them that believe to the saving of the soul. Again in Hebrews 9, verse 26 through 28. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. To put away sin, that so we can be justified. To put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, Messiah, then Joseph. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, Messiah, then David, without providing a sacrifice for sin. And he'll come unto salvation, and we shall experience salvation. That is what our hearts yearn for and long for. Am I a soldier of the cross? A follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause and blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this foul world a friend to grace, to help me unto God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Let's kneel for prayer.